address an area that the Lord, I believe, gave to me the turn of this year. I don't always get it, but sometimes I get a sort of a knowing, if you like, of some things that God is going to address and he's going to deal with in the body. And one of the things that I believe is we're going to see now, we're already seeing it, an opening of ministry going forth. We're going to start to see gifts being really prepared now. That is something I sense he's revealed to me. But for us individually, this is what I believe he's going to start doing for this year. Our lives have to be uncluttered. Our lives have to be uncluttered. And that's, I'm giving you exactly what I believe he gave me. You might be able to put it in a different definition, with maybe better eloquence, but I'm giving what God often gives me when he gives a title. Our lives have to be uncluttered. Now, I don't have to tell you the pace of life that we live in now. Everything moves at such a speed. Nobody wants to wait for anything. You find people are completely intolerant to waiting. You don't wait today. Almost it's of the attitude, well, how dare you cause me to wait? You know? Which is all signs of pride and arrogance of this last day. But we as believers, we are experiencing deliverance as we come under the word, as the word washes you, as the word of God touches you. Remember that if you're open and to receive the word of God, then God is going to, he's not going to give us anything that cannot be achieved and done for his glory. No matter how challenging it is, no matter how impossible it might seem, we know that with man, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. But I believe that God is going to start to speak and address areas where he wants to uncomplicate your life and my life. And quite often, when God has me to address something, he's already begun to work, or he's beginning to work in me. And for about the last 6 months, I have found myself not wanting to get involved in certain things that maybe once I used to. And I know this to be a work of the Spirit, because there's a desire in my heart to not to want to get involved. And very often we get involved in things because we think that we are the answer to the situation or the problem. And so that's why the Lord's called me, because he wants me to unravel a problem or a situation. But it might not be the case. It might just be because that's what you've been doing, or it's what you're good at. And there are things that we are good at, and there's things that we're not good at. And sometimes those things that we are good at, we think, well, yes, the Lord will use me in that. But very often I am finding, after all these years, that God calls us to the things that we're not good at, or we're not particularly interested in, or it's not something I would pursue. And so God says, that's what I'm calling you to, or that's what I want you to get involved for a season. Not what you think you're good at. And this again is showing us that we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And of course, this is a classic example where God calls us each week to the meetings, which of course in the natural we would never do. We'd be busy doing other things. Most of us would probably be having a lie-in this morning. That's what we'd be doing, you know, and get up around about 11 or 12 o'clock and just sort of late lunch about 4 o'clock. That's probably what we would be doing. But here God works in our heart, gets us here, you know, 10:30 to come and praise and worship him and to listen to the word of God. So that has to be God, you see. So the Spirit wants to unclutter our lives. The reason God is dealing with this is for simple reason because of his holiness. Now turn with me to something you know very well in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 11 to 18. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide and open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and I'll walk with them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Notice the promise he says in that context. He says, I will be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters. Can I suggest to you that what I'm addressing here this morning, and what the Spirit has shown me he's going to start to do, is connected with sonship. And it's also to bring us into the experience of the Father, which I heard through that prophecy this morning. Both these prophecies you're going to hear confirm this message that God had been giving to me. Why? Because God is holy. Now you know what holiness means in this church. It means to be set apart. To be taken out from, to be set apart, in our case, unto God. Now, God doesn't set you apart where you bring all your clutter with you. Now, we want to be set apart and to take everything with us as well. And God says, hang on a minute. No, I don't want that. I want you. I want your heart. I want you set apart unto me. You will not be able to take any of your clutter with you when you go into eternity. So why not let me start to work it already now in your life? Now, we live in an age of consumerism. And we have so much at our disposal. There are so many things we can buy. You know what it's like when you go to the shops or you look on your internet or whatever it would be. We are bombarded with things that we can buy. We can buy. And of course we do. And before we know where we are, we can't move. We're cluttered. We've got so much stuff. And of course we believe in the abundant life. And God does abundantly bless. But he's going to abundantly bless when we meet the conditions. And so we take on board all these things. Now, little do we realize, you may be saying to me, yes, Pastor, but what's wrong with being blessed? Nothing. What's wrong with the abundant life? Nothing. The point is, when God blesses you, he wants you to learn that you are blessed, but you are not overwhelmed with that blessing. You are not consumed with that blessing. And the blessing that he's giving you is taking a lot of time in your life during the daytime to use it or whatever it would be that is going to take you away from your time and your walk with God. Now, God isn't going to give you anything and bless you anything that is going to interfere with relationship. He doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. I think also this is a major problem that is facing in family life. Because young people, children, have so much now. They can have so much. They've got so many things, so many gadgets, so many toys. They can have their computers and everything. All of this is taking their minds, robbing their minds from God. Now, even psychologists see this to a certain extent, and we see the effects that it's having upon this new generation that is coming up, where they no longer communicate as they once did, where people did. They no longer spend time with the family like they once did. There's not that family unit around the table and so on when you eat a meal. So it's all breaking down. But what is it doing? It's clutter that's doing it. And God wants to deliver us. And this deliverance might mean that God may say, right, we're going to do a blitz in the house. It might even be that. Or it might just be that God is cutting affection away in our hearts for these things that we so rely on. You know, it can be the same with a car. You know, we are so reliant on a car that it's become almost idolatrous. And it's not until God removes it for a season do we realise, you know, the problems that are involved. Or it could be anything. So God is going to do this, and it's right in this context. And Paul speaks here about to the Corinthians, and he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, of course, he's speaking here first and foremost about associating with those who don't know Christ. Now, what of course he's referring to here, because he says, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Because that's what the world is out there. That is a good word to use. They are lawless, rebellious. And he says, how can you have fellowship with that? You can't. They're not of your ilk. They don't think like you. They don't act like you. They don't speak like you. Their outlook isn't like you. So how can we have fellowship with the world in that way? And yet we find at times we are drawn into the world. We're drawn by its allurements. And as we find ourselves for a season getting drawn to it, we find then we start to get cluttered. It just starts to pile in whatever way or form. And what is it doing? It's severing. It's trying to sever that relationship, that walk with Jesus. That's what it's doing. It's very subtle, you see. And so because we're of a generation that is so consumed by materialism, it then brings out that greed. It brings out all those ungodly things. And we see that today. We see it, and it's ugly. And of course, the financial system is really affected by that spirit of greed, which is in them as well. So we see there's a wake-up call. God is calling men, women now, the world, to repent. This is all a warning. But are they? No. They're not. But there's a remnant who will respond, praise God. And so he then says all of this, what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? In other words, he's saying, you can't have fellowship with a Babylonian system. It's Babylon. Mystery Babylon. You can't have fellowship with that. You can't have fellowship with religion, which is Babylon. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. And here it goes. You are a living temple. God dwells, lives in you. And because he lives in you, therefore, because like the Old Testament temple, under the Old Covenant, and you know how strict God was, the rulings he gave, that if his presence was going to abide and dwell with Israel, how everything had to be spotless, clean, it had to be made to the right measurements, everything. And God raised up the workmen, the craftsmen, and so forth, so they built that temple. Well, look how he's doing that now in your heart, in your life. It's that complete cleaning, that cleansing, because he dwells there. He's not going to dwell in defilement. And so, here it is. This is why he calls us out. He calls us away from people who are bad influences, from things that try to deceive us. In other words, he's getting rid of all the clutter, all the unnecessaries. And then, as he quotes, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, and touch not these unclean things." Don't get involved. Don't get drawn in. Remain separate. Same at work. Do what you're supposed to do at work. You do it unto the Lord, but don't get drawn into unnecessary things. Because you can. You can get drawn into arguments. You can get drawn into siding with someone. You know, all those things that go on. You know what goes on at work. God says remain separate from it. Don't get drawn into it. If they're having an argument, whatever, let them sort it out. You know what to do. Pray about it. You see, it's human nature to try and get other people to side with them. We've all done it. We've all done it. You don't get drawn into that. That's clutter. That's clutter. Now, of course, they might say, "Well, you're a bit aloof, aren't you? What's wrong with you? You're no friend." Well, the only friendship that you can give to them is the friendship of Jesus. But of course, they don't all of them want to know that. So sometimes people will misinterpret it, but God is keeping you separate from it. And that is how we're to walk, because this is sonship. He says, "If you do this, you will be my father, you will be my sons, you will be my daughters," says the Lord Almighty. How about the story of Martha and Mary? Yes, Luke 10:38. Let's have a look at this one. I know you know this well, but here's a classic one. Luke 10:38-42. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" I love the way Jesus answers this. Now, most of us just say, "Well, you know, she's right what she says. You should be out in the kitchen there. You know, there's a lot of people here. This is a special day. And, you know, afterwards when we're finished, there's food. People are hungry." No, Jesus is above it. He says she's chosen the best thing. And what he's really saying to her, "Why don't you do the same? And then when we're all finished, then we'll eat. And we can do it. We could probably all muck in and help." But she got anxious. She was getting caught up with the clutter. And what was the clutter? It was food. Preparation. And we all know about that. You mums here, you know all about this and so forth. And sometimes, you know, if time isn't on your side, you can feel the stress and the strain of it, you know. And I'm sure most of you, when you've experienced children trying to get them off to school, late with breakfast, lose their homework, and they're not dressed properly, whatever it is, you feel the stress, the strain of it. Because, you know, it's a mark against them if they arrive at school late, and so it goes on. She had chosen the best, to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. And that is what God is saying to us. He's saying, if you learn to sit at my feet, I will teach you. I will show you. He will remove all that stress. He will remove all those worldly, earthly things, you know, that we get so consumed in. We'll get uncluttered. We'll get set free. And the freedom is, of course, that you're hearing from God. You're being touched by him. And what is it really doing? It's saying it's seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And some of your parents are saying to me, are you telling me that God will work with little Johnny? Will actually get him ready? When I bawl and shout at him every morning, you mean to tell me God will undertake and work in his heart? Yes. And that we'll get breakfast in time and we won't be running into the school just as, you know, the whistle's gone. Yes, plenty of time and more time. Because seeking first the kingdom of God means that God is going to get rid of clutter. And this is why we're not at times experiencing the kingdom, what is pertained to the kingdom, because we still are too cluttered. And clutter is often held by fear and anxiety. But what if we don't have that? Or what if we get rid of it? It's the fear, the anxiety. See? And that's the same with deliverance. You can take that on the spiritual level. That is the nature of demons. Demons will always deceive you. You can't get rid of me. Because I'm your character. I'm your makeup. I've always been with you. We've always got on well together. That's their nature. That's what they tell you. And when the Holy Spirit begins to work, you realise, hang on, this has got to go. Another prop's got to go. And so on. See? That is the deliverance work God is doing. And what was taking place with this story here with Mary and Martha, Martha was getting deliverance. That's what the Lord was doing there. He was trying to simplify her life. He'd spoken and seen a big problem with that sister. Now she probably was very helpful here. She got Jesus, opened her house, you know. Cool, we got the Messiah here. And she wanted to pull out all the stops for him. Very understandable. Nothing wrong with that. Be sociable. Be good hosts. But put first things first. That's the point. And I tell you, all the anxieties will go. All the bad heads will go. All the stress will go. The lot. Yes, I am listening, Lord. I said to you, you know, God takes me through these things. In the natural, I've had an awful week. Terrible week. And I felt the stress and the anxiety of it. And by about Wednesday, I began to feel the feelings of a migraine coming on. And that sickness with it. And I thought, I know exactly what this is. I didn't even have to run to the Word. I know what's causing this. I'm allowing a door to be opened with the anxiety. My life is getting cluttered. Things are piling in and I'm responding to it. And I knew I've got to get before God and repent and get it right. And I did. And you focus back and you're seeking the kingdom again. That peace starts to come back. And it's like it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know? And God gets you focused, he gets you back, you see. So I said to you, I had to go through this. And of course, as I got before the Lord, well, Lord, what I'm going to speak to them about this week, you're going to speak about your experience. What I was showing you. And this is it. So here was a great deliverance taking place with Martha. Because Mary had chosen, she had put the kingdom first. She was interested in the Word. She was interested in Jesus. She was interested what she could receive. There was that hunger there. And that is what is in the sons and daughters of God. There's that hunger. There is something there that says, I'm going to put that first. And all the rest will come later. And it does. And we've really got to cultivate this one. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to minister and work this. And it may mean some things need throwing out. It may mean alterations. It may mean that the family's got to change in areas or whatever it would be. But God will provide. God will bless. And you will see the fruit of it. You see, anxiety is a spirit. And it's a spirit that will always look for something to support it, to feed it. I mean, what does anxiety feed off? You've got it. Clutter. That's its nature. It loves it. It loves something to be anxious about, to be fearful about. That's the spirit, and it feeds off it. And if it means that it can bring more clutter into your life, it's succeeding because it's going to feed off it. It's like a leech. And you see it today in society, in everything. People have got to have that support around them, whether it be insurances, whether it be burglar alarms all around the house, security, you name it, whatever it is. Well, all that stuff is clutter. It's all got to be looked for. It's all got to have maintenance. All costs money. We live in an age and generation that, you know, you can buy almost anything for your creature comforts, to feel secure. But what you don't realise is you buy the responsibility that goes with it. Because half of this stuff goes wrong after a time. Then you've got to get somebody else. Or they can't repair it. Complications, whatever it is. Now, I know we walk by faith. But hear me for what I'm saying. God is still simplifying our lives. You know? That's the point. Now, we are responsible. We have homes. Of course we do. But you don't take on unnecessary things. That is the point. God is trying to cut things away in our lives. Why is he doing this? So that when he comes to call us, we'll be free and we'll be able to go up. We're not going to be bound by anything. All the while you're still bound by man, by the system. God has got to undo that. That's why he's working with your finances. That's why he wants to get you debt free. He wants you out of all that stuff because that's where the devil holds. He's got you. And in so many ways, this is why he's wonderfully working a deliverance, delivering us from medical science, from the gods of medical science. Because they get such a hold on you. And that hold is there. And the bureaucracy of it all. And the forms that have to be filled. And the appointments that have to be kept. And it just goes on and on and on. And they find one problem only to find that there's something else is a problem. And so it becomes a domino effect. Before you know where you are, you've got 10 things wrong with you. And it's a miracle you're still living. God's setting us free from that. I know the temptation of that at times. We're going right through that one at the moment in our household. But God is showing us every time, look to me, I am your answer. The healing is in me. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what I hear when I'm tempted to look away, come right back. And it's with everything. So he's in this trial that we're going through, that my mother's going through, he's keeping it simple, uncluttered. I can see now why. And I'm able to preach a message like this. And it just goes on for so many things. Some of you are having problems at home or problems in relationships or whatever it is. Well, sometimes God's just saying it's best to keep quiet. Don't say anything. Because that way it becomes uncluttered then. It just goes on. This title that he's given, Uncluttering Our Lives. How about the call to discipleship? Luke 9, verse 57. Luke 9, verse 57. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that some said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. Oh, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me go first and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plough, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. One could say that was really harsh, really unloving. What was he doing there? He was showing your lives have got to be completely uncluttered if you want to follow me. And he knew exactly where to bring the sword down, right in the family. Right in the family. And he said, if you put your hands to the plough, you go forward. You haven't even time to look back. Can I suggest to you, clutter tries to get us to look back? That is its nature. That is its nature. That's why the devil does it. To get you to stop looking on that ploughing. And of course, if you look behind or look to the left or the right, you start to veer off. That's always what happens to a person who's ploughing a field. That's its analogy. He said to another, Lord, I'll follow you. But he said, let me first go. I've got to go to a funeral. And it's important, a funeral. He said, no, let those that are dead bury the dead. But go and preach the kingdom of God. See? He was making that disciple's life. We're trying to show, I want your life uncluttered. I want it solely to follow me. Now, only God can do that. He knows. So you may be sitting here saying to you, oh, but Pastor, you don't know my life. I mean, what are you talking about? Well, God never makes a mistake. This is why we serve a miracle-working God. You hand it over to God and you watch what God will do. If this has got your name and address on this morning, hand the whole lot over, put it at the foot of the cross and say, Father, in the good news of the gospel is I can bring this all to the foot of the cross and you've said you're going to deal with it. Hallelujah. And he will. It might hurt. Might see a few things have to go out and think, oh, what are we going to do without that? You know, God will provide, God will bless. God will bless. He's there to provide every time. You know, we've got to learn that if he's going to feed the animals, the birds of the air, he most certainly is going to feed and provide for us who are made in his image. He's going to do that. Whatever your situation. And so we see this same principle. How about the 70 that was sent forth? Luke 10. Here you go, here's another one. Luke 10, chapters 1 to 12. And after the things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. And he sent them two by two before his face to every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money, bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating, drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, they receive you. Eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick and preach the kingdom of God and call them to repentance and so on. So you know that the Great Commission there. That's part of the principle of it. So that 70 was sent forth. Not to take any money, no provisions. He said you're going to go uncluttered. Most of us can't go in ministry because we're too cluttered. This is why I believe God showed me again. I said to you, I believe this year he's going to start to prepare ministry. We're always sitting. Our brother's already gone beforehand. I've watched how God has been uncluttering our brother's life. And he's working on this. And I know if he were here this morning, he'd be saying amen to this. But he's going to do the same with you. And as he starts to unclutter, to get rid of, to simplify your life, you're going to start to see doors of ministry starting to open. That is the principle. He cannot use you if you're so cluttered, if you're so anxious. I mean, how can he use you if he says, well, I want you now to go and minister? Well, Lord, I can go, but I tell you what, I've got to be back by four. No good. No good. No good. And you say to me, oh, but Pastor, don't you realise my life? God knows your life, but he can still do it. He'll do it. He's a God of miracles. Don't ask me how, but he will. And the point is, as your life becomes uncluttered, so you are free to be used. And you will see those doors. And God will lead you and take you through. And you will not be held by the enemy trying to say, well, what about this? You ought to get back in time. If you don't get back tonight, what is the family going to think? Or you've got to go, you know, you've got a meal tonight. You've got a family coming back. They're going to be hungry. And all this, you know, goes on. Just what Martha was consumed with. God says, I'll deliver you from that. I tell you, this is a unique work God's doing in this last day to glorify his name. So the 70 were sent forth. And that is why they came back rejoicing. Said, even the demons are subject to your name. They saw the miracles. We're only going to see the greater works, my friend, when we're uncluttered. We're obedient to the Lord and what he asks of us and requires of us, you see. So we have to be very careful, as I bring this to conclusion now, what we take on. Not necessarily things. Don't get involved in commitments that God has never called you for or to. It'll be a burden round your neck. You know? You know, the apostle Paul, he couldn't even allow his life to become cluttered. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself in, whether it be in prison, or whether with a sore back, or whether he hadn't got some food for that day, or whether he was rejected in his ministry, or told to leave that village, or whatever. He said, I have learned to be content in whatever situation I am. Friends, you can only be content when that clutter goes. Because clutter makes you discontented. You don't really appreciate. It's all come, it's all there, it's all easy. It's all at our disposal. It's not until they go or God removes them do we then appreciate. But that is how God works that godly contentment. So this message will work that in your heart the same as the Apostle Paul. And so he could move. He moved where the Lord led him. Now, of course, we know he's an apostle. He wasn't a mother with four children. And yet he addresses that beautifully, lovingly by the grace of God. It is the principle, it is the attitude, it is the heart. It's whether you are putting smoke screens up and saying, well, there's no way I can live this message today, what pastor's giving. Well, you've missed it. You've missed it, whatever your circumstances. What God says to me, Barbara, I want you to seek me about it. I want you to place yourself on the altar. I want all your clutter, all everything that's anxiety to you, whatever it would be, put it on the altar and you watch, I can deal with it. That is what he wants from every one of us. Whatever our circumstances, whatever your commitments are. Of course parents are committed to their children. That is scriptural. I'm not talking about now you get rid of your children or shove them off to a home. God forbid. We're talking about offering this your whole life, all, you know, all that the Lord's highlighted, exposed this morning. He says, bring it to the cross. Leave it there. And you watch. I will work. I will work. Why is he doing this? Well, I believe this is all deliverance to the mind. You know, it speaks in scriptures of casting down those thoughts, the imaginations. We have the mind of Christ. This is for you to experience yet more of the mind of Christ. And not to have a mind that is anxious about things, things of the world. All those things you know your mind dwells on. This is deliverance. So that we can be kingdom minded. Our minds are set upon the kingdom, upon Jesus, upon his word. And whatever needs come along, whatever demands from the children or at work or whatever it would be, it's all under control. It's not consuming us. It's not controlling us anymore. We're free from it. We've got to be free from the control of man. And I see God doing this. He's cutting it. He's delivering. Because what comes out of the control of man, that's demonic. There's spirits behind that. Who wants to be subject to a spirit, to a demon? God forbid. You know? You know, sometimes when you want just some peace, and suddenly people go, and suddenly you've got peace. Have you ever experienced that? Just that peace. Well, I'll tell you what went. There were spirits went with that lot. That's what went. They were demons in operation. And there comes a time, if you are walking close with God, there comes a point where you no longer, you don't want demons. You don't want them around. You don't want them robbing you. You don't want it. And so as God works with us, and we put that kingdom first, and as he simplifies our lives, gets our lives to conform to his will, you're going to find demons won't want to stay very long. I'll tell you. So some of you may be saying, well, does it mean then we're not going to see so much of our cousins and aunts and uncles and everything? You know, we love having them round regularly. They come round every week and so forth. Well, it might mean that. It might mean that they might not come so often to give you peace. To give you a focusing on the Lord and so forth. You see? So that's where God is cutting away, cutting away. See, a lot of this clutter is held by emotions. Do you know we hold on to a lot of things for sentimental reasons? Now, I'm not saying again you are to throw out now something your mother or father left you or whatever it is. So please, hear me for what I'm saying. We need a balance. But I do know a lot of people are so overboard on this. You know, they've got to have everything. Oh, that's lovely, you know. Oh, I've got to have that. You know, and before you know where they've got this, they buy that and everything. They go out shop. Oh, I've got to have that. Oh, that's wonderful. And it comes home. Well, it's all got to be clean. All takes time. All it's got to be put away. Or you find that you're getting so much stuff, I've got no more rooms in my cupboard. How many of you have got no more rooms in your cupboards? Yeah, I've got to put hand up. I have. I'm guilty. And do you know what we say? I haven't got enough cupboards. And what do? If we get more cupboards? We fill them. See? And then you look in the cupboard, don't you, think, God, the state of it. You know, I've got to clean this out. I haven't had a spring clean for 2 years. So that's on your mind, you know. And you, when can I get time to do this? And it just builds up, doesn't it? The whole thing. It's the Martha syndrome. No. If you haven't known it, when we moved, I made a decision. Anything we hadn't used for the last 4 years was going. Because I won't want it. My mom. And you know, it was true. But the Lord helped me with that. I think it was probably only one thing. But apart from that, didn't need it. Because we were blessed. We were blessed. Because we had a lot of clutter. A lot of stuff. And I knew we'd got to scale down. And it's not only that, I was thinking to myself, well, when we go out in the rapture, those that are left are going to be left with all of this. And I wouldn't want that. No way would I want it. Have you ever tried closing up a house? You know, if you're an executor or whatever it is, you've got to get rid of all that stuff. It is no joke. Because I tell you today, they don't take stuff away today. You pay them to take it away. It used to be quite different years ago, you know, going to auction or whatever. Or they come and they look, they only want the best stuff. The rest of it can go to the dump. So you've got to get it to the dump, haven't you? And it means maybe you've got to hire a van. And so it all goes on, you see? So God is working in this. He wants to simplify our lives. For life is so complicated today. People live very, very complicated lives. You know, it amazes me some lives some people live. You know, some men, their lives, their occupation, they spend half their life going from the four corners of the earth. They live on a plane. They live in a hotel. Then they come back, hardly see their family. Or the wife is the same. So, you know, you didn't see lives like that 50 years ago, 40 years ago. But you do now. You see very complicated living lives. And they think it's great. They think it's cool. But what they don't realise is the stress factor. And in my close now, what I believe God has shown me, stress is the number one key demon that opens the door to a lot of the 21st century diseases we see are prevalent today. Cancer is prevalent, strokes is prevalent, blood pressure is prevalent, diabetes is prevalent, heart is prevalent. I could go on. These are all stress-related diseases that God is closing doors to. Amen? And He'll do it. He'll do it. Why? Because He's uncluttering our lives. Hallelujah. What a gospel this is. What a good news, eh? Hallelujah. Praise God.